The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Also check it out on ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Cal-Arizona State game canceled as Herm Edwards, Coach Herm, who's obviously a colleague here at ESPN and one of the best dudes, man, test positive for COVID-19. Obviously, I would like to, and we'd all like to, wish him a speedy recovery. And hope that he has a mild case and that he gets better fast. He is one of, what is it now, over 120,000 Americans who catch it daily, raging out of control. It's been ignored at the highest levels of our government, but hopefully that will now change. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, that's 729-3776. Excuse me, I have a problem saying 77 apparently. 3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Blazing fast NFL whip around coming up in a few minutes. Just a matter of time before other shows steal this idea, Raj. I know the young quarterbacks list is now catching on. This after power rankings. Everyone's doing power rankings nowadays.
We got a mole. We had a mole yesterday, and now I saw another show do the top five quarterbacks because they saw it on our rundown.
I'm not all saying I know, Rog, but we got a mole. All I know is I remember walking down the street one day. I was on Broadway. And I thought to myself, what could I do new on the radio? Mm-hmm. And this is going back to the Max Kellerman Show on New York radio on ESPN. I thought, everyone ranks NFL teams. I know. What if I ranked them midseason? Because it's in flux, the rankings.
What
will I call it? Max's rankings? No, it needs to be catchy. Power rankings. And now it's everywhere. Anyway, we're going to get into it. It's time for Straight Talk, though, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I was going to tell you about Tom Brady or Cam Newton and who needs Sunday more. But I want to tell you instead, who just said what, Max Kellerman Nation in my ear? What? What's going on, Raj? Anyway, I was going to get into something I just tweeted out, but apparently, Raj really needs me to say the following. Be a part of Max Kellerman Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. Now, I was going to start with Brady or Cam, who needs this weekend more, all that stuff. Derek Jeter, one of the greatest players in the history of sports, five-time world champion shortstop for the New York Yankees. And people who are like, you know, critical of Jeter, he's overrated. It's only because he's a shortstop for the Yankees. If Derek Jeter were the right fielder for the Milwaukee Brewers his entire career, he'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Had over 3,000 hits. Let alone shortstop, because he wasn't a right fielder for the Brewers. Yeah, shortstop for the New York Yankees. Won 5 World Series. Hit at the top of the lineup. Anyway, he was criticized when he fronted that group to buy the Marlins by many. He traded a high-priced talent away in a rebuild. And he hired Don Mattingly, by the way, who was Jeter before there was Jeter. Between Mickey Mantle and Derek Jeter in New York City, I don't think there's anyone more popular in baseball than Don Mattingly, including Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry. Mattingly is the manager, gets the Miami Marlins back to the postseason for the first time in 17 years. And what did he just do today? He hired two firsts, two glass ceilings shattered, Raj, the first female GM in the history of major American team sports. The first one, Kim Ng, and the first Asian American GM in baseball history. That's two. And why? Is it in order to break a glass ceiling? No, he hired the best person for the job. When you exclude women or any group from the job pool, really, what you're doing is hurting yourself. I think about the Brooklyn Dodgers in the 1950s when they broke the color barrier with Jackie Robinson in 47. Branch Rickey then started plucking off the Negro League All-Star team, basically, and put him on the Dodgers. Roy Campanella, maybe the greatest catcher ever. Don Newcomb, ace. Like, you just start, oh, really? They're not? Okay, I'll just take the All-Star team. If you exclude a group from a job pool, right, you're not going to get the best applicant for the job. Just unlikely. You take out half the population. Why are you leaving that untapped talent? Well, Derek Jeter didn't and the Marlins didn't. By the way, Kim Ng was assistant GM to Brian Cashman in 1998. That was the height of the Yankees dynasty. She was the assistant GM at the height, 98, 99. That was the middle of the greatest dynasty in the history of baseball. By far, there's nothing close to that dynasty. Nothing close in any era. She was the assistant GM. Tremendous, like a huge day. Very proud of Derek Jeter today, Raj. He's in Miami, but he's a favorite son of the New York Yankees, as you know. Meantime, and by the way, I'll take calls on that. 888-729-3776. A lot of people talking a lot of smack about Derek Jeter. How are you feeling today? Marlins in the playoffs for the first time in almost two decades. Just hired the first female GM in the history of American team sports, major American team sports, and the first Asian American GM in baseball history. Oof. It's quite a day. Remember when he was trading away all the talent and everyone's, oh, Jeter. He fronted this group, and now they're bilking the city of Miami? Nope. Dan Le Batard has been very critical of Jeter. He and I have debated this. Or I don't know if we've debated it. Maybe I've just debated it in my mind with him when I've heard him talk about Jeter. No, I'm pretty sure we've debated it. I don't remember if it was on air or off air, to tell you the truth. At any rate, that's Straight Talk. Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
Says pause for music here, Raj. There it is.
Yes, Raj. No one can hear you. You going to call out these matchups or what? Want to do an NFL?
No, yeah. Around? But I was just wondering if you sit around and just like play First Take with yourself all day. Like you just watch stuff. You just debate with people that aren't there.
Yeah, that's right. Well, actually, no. Listen, this is well known, and you should know this as a radio veteran. When you're doing especially a radio show, a talk show in sports, but really this goes for anything in the radio. If you're really good, if it's good radio – people are going to be talking to the radio when they're by themselves in their car.
Yes.
They're going to be agreeing, disagreeing, debating with you. That's it. That's if it's good. So Le Batard knows what he's doing. So sometimes maybe I'm talking to the radio, or maybe because we're friends, we talked on the phone, or when I saw him in Miami last time, or maybe we did it on the air one time, although I don't remember. But anyway, at least in my own mind, we've debated Jeter, if not in fact.
Yeah. And you sit there and when you play video games, do fake play-by-play to yourself. All that nerdy
stuff.
Don't
play video games. Don't be ridiculous. What I do is I put it in dynasty mode or in franchise mode, even the old games, and then I construct the team, and then I simulate the games.
Ah, okay. Well, I like to play.
And if I don't like the way it's going, I turn it off.
Never happened. All right, hey, man, we got some intriguing matchups. First, I want to start with a battle of young guns. Now, you got your top five young guns coming a little later. It's a little something someone else stole a little earlier on the network, but that's okay. We got Chargers at Dolphins. Oof. We got Herbert versus Tua. Woo! What do you like on this? Remember, you got 60 seconds, by the way, and then we'll hit the buzzer on you.
The Chargers and the Falcons are competing to see which team can snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. I expect this to be no different, especially with a surging Miami team. Miami not only has wins, and what have they won now? Four in a row or four of the last? But three of the last four wins have been against good teams. And not just good teams with plus 500 records, but teams who are surging at the time Miami played them. Don't forget, they beat up on the Niners. Next week, Niners beat up on the Patriots. They beat the Rams. The Rams are coming off their best win of the season, dominating the Bears, who are coming off a win against the Bucs. They're beating good teams. And by the way, Arizona, streaking team. It just recently beat Seattle. And Tua Tagovailoa has shown not only that he can win like game managing, but he can win by making plays. Justin Herbert is the best of the young bunch, I believe. but the Dolphins are simply better than the Chargers. And I think the Chargers are snake bit. Dolphins at home win the game.
All right, dude, you got a buzzer that time. No whistle for you, just a buzzer. Hey, next game, so another matchup for Young Guns. We got the Bills at the Cardinals. I'm talking my man Josh Allen versus Kyler Murray. What you like, Max?
This is another really tough one. You know, it's a tough game. These quarterbacks are pretty evenly matched, too. Like, when you talk about the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, they're a group of three. Mahomes, one. Rodgers and Wilson after him, probably in that order, right? Then you get a lot of question marks. Can you consider Lamar an elite quarterback? He can't win the big one or in the playoffs. He doesn't pass as well as some of the other guys. Who do you rank? Is Drew Brees still in that category? What about Josh Allen? How about Kyler Murray, right? They're in that next group that you talk about, neither with a long enough track record as an elite quarterback. Josh Allen, the bigger, stronger guy. Kyler Murray, I mean, both super athletic, both totally excellent. If I had to pick between the two quarterbacks, I'd go with Kyler by a hair. But I go with the Bills' defense in terms of talent. I'm gonna take Arizona because they're at home. But it's this. Okay. This is a great game.
All right, next one, the NFC West battle, man. I'm talking about the Seahawks versus the Rams. Los Angeles is going to be up, ready to go for this one. Who do you like in this matchup?
It's interesting. You ever notice how in the Seahawks-Rams matchup, whoever's having the good season, you can kind of rely on the other one. At least it feels that way to be a thorn in their side. I know a lot of divisional rivalries, it seems that way. But I have distinct impression, at least, if not memory, of like, boy, the Rams are good this year. Ooh, Seattle just stuck it to them. And vice versa, right? Like, when Seattle's good, damn, somehow the Rams have their number. They're both pretty good right now. And the Rams are at home. Here's the difference. Home ain't what it used to be during COVID. And more than that, great quarterbacks are like great starting pitchers. They can be stoppers. Seattle needs a stopper right now. They need Russell Wilson to be a stopper. They ask him to win shootouts. The Rams defense can get after it. But their real defensive performances that really boost them when you see a team scoring single digits, getting sacked 1,000 times, it's against bad offensive lines, the Bears, the Giants, you know, teams like that. The Cowboys earlier in the season, and the Cowboys' offensive line is not the same. I would say that I'll say that in another tight, tight game, I like Seattle to win because I think Russell Wilson will will it. I don't think they drop two in a row.
All right. In this one here, see, that was a penalty right there, Max. You went over. You see? Five-yard right. Penalty right there. See what happens? All right.
5 yards. No big deal. Make that right up.
Offense is all banged up, but that defense is still tough, and they're going against the Saints, and Drew Brees came alive against Brady and the Bucks. Who do you like here?
Niners ain't beating the Saints without their quarterback. You know, like Garoppolo, whatever you think about him, is a winning quarterback. In fact, the two quarterbacks that show you, like, oh my God, whatever you think about them, when they are playing, their team always wins, it seems, is Lamar Jackson, one, and Jimmy Garoppolo's the other one. Big gap in talent, right? But they get the job done. They almost always win, but Garoppolo's not there. And meantime, the Saints are surging. They finally have Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders and Kamara and Drew Brees. Like, they have the whole team back. And they made a trade at the deadline for a linebacker, Quan Alexander. I keep mentioning that because I think it's significant. I like the Saints here. I don't like the Niners without Garoppolo. Going back now several years, they as much as they almost always win with Garoppolo, they almost always lose without him. I don't see him beating the Saints.
All right. Next one here. We blew the whistle a little early. All right. The Bengals. We got Joe Mixon, who's doubtful. So that may be on DraftKings. You might be a certain backup running back.
I got Bernard in my.
See, I knew you would pick up on that. And rookie Joe Burrow going against that Steelers undefeated defense. Who do you like?
You know what I really should do? I should take the Steelers because I took the Bengals on first take. And this way I'm covered either way. I'm taking the Bengals in an upset here. First of all, a lot of guys in COVID protocol on the Steelers now, four or five last I checked, including Roethlisberger. And what that means is they can't enter the facilities. Like, even if they do play, they haven't practiced, right? So I think that hurts them. I think Joe Burrow, as well as he's played and as competitive at times that as Cincinnati's been, they're only a two-win team. They got to start actually getting some wins. This is a divisional game. It's a big game for the Bengals, not as big for the Steelers. I don't see the Steelers as an undefeated team. I think they lose at least twice this year. And usually teams like that, You're going to lose one you should have won. I think this is the one for the Steelers. I can't call it a trap game because the Steelers are aware they're facing obstacles. But I feel like this is the kind of game you're supposed to win at home that you lose. I do expect it to be tough for Burrow. I think the Steelers will get after him. But I think this comes down to like the last play of the game and Joe Burrow plays hero ball.
All right, here we go. Sunday Night Football. We jump ahead a little bit, even though we got some more games after this. The Ravens, Lamar versus Cam on Sunday Night Football. Talk to me, Max.
This is another, by the way, I think this is actually a tough one. I think the Patriots are going to play desperate football. But as I've said, Lamar Jackson doesn't have a problem beating good teams. Not that the Patriots are necessarily good and they're missing a lot on their defense. He doesn't have a problem beating good teams. Beat Seattle last year. Beat a lot of good teams last year. Or a handful of good teams last year and this year. By the way, the Colts. What do you think of the Colts now?
Ooh.
That a good win against Indianapolis? It's a damn good win. Lamar Jackson can beat good teams and good defenses, and he can do it from the pocket. Lamar Jackson's problem is winning the game he must win. You must beat the Chiefs. If you're in the AFC, you must beat the Ben Roethlisberger Steelers if you're the Ravens, and you must win in the playoffs. He's 0-6. He's 25-1 at all other times, as I keep saying. So I like him against the Patriots. I think the Ravens are an excellent team. They have a very good defense, in fact, right? Like, they're holding teams to 10, 12, 14 points, whatever it is. And I don't want to hear, their offense is predictable. The Ravens' offense has been fine with Lamar Jackson. I like the Ravens.
All right. And, hey, you heard Bruce Arians call out his Hall of Fame quarterback, Tom Brady. He and the Buccaneers travel to Carolina in an NFC South matchup.
I like the Bucs here. I think the Panthers are going the wrong way defensively. I was more impressed with their defense earlier in the season. And I'm doing this anecdotally. Like, I have not dug into the Panthers' numbers or anything. But I was more impressed with them defensively when I watched them earlier in the season. Now, by the way, I also admit, I'm watching Red Zone a lot. You know, a lot. I'm playing DraftKings. I'm watching Red Zone a lot. And it's not like I'm tuning in to watch full Panthers games. You know, there are some teams you want to see the whole thing if they're in prime time or because they're really interesting. And I like Bridgewater, but I'm not paying very close attention to the Panthers. So this is a general impression. Their defense, I think, is going the wrong way. I think more than that, Brady, after a loss, I just said Russell Wilson's a stopper. And Bruce Arians has known how to push the buttons. Criticizes Brady after they lose to the Saints early. It works. Defends Brady after he melts down mentally against the Bears. It seemed to work. I expect Brady and the Bucs to be much better against a mediocre team, and I expect them to win.
All right, here we go. An AFC West matchup that is fun no matter the records, but the Denver Broncos and the Raiders will match up. Talk to me.
You know who doesn't get enough press nationally is Drew Locke. He doesn't get enough press nationally. That's a different team with him as quarterback. And the Broncos, I've seen them. Maybe it's because of where they play their home games, but I always see beating the Broncos as a quality win, even when they don't have a lot of wins. You know, like, it never seems to me that that's cake. I think the Raiders not only win, I think they win by at least a touchdown. The Raiders have shown real upside this year. They have some curious losses where they got the brakes beat off them, too. But they've shown upside this year. And the Broncos can compete. But I like the Raiders. I think this is one of those surging kind of games for them. Again, not based on I'm not doing a deep dive here, Raj. I just feel like the Raiders have shown upper end a bit. Listen, they're the only team that beat the Chiefs.
That's right.
You know, like, they have some real quality wins this year, and they've done it in shootout kind of games. I like the Raiders.
Okay, hey, let's go to a couple other young quarterbacks here. The Texans versus, I know you guys talk about Baker Mayfield a lot on First Take. Can Baker get this done off the bye week, Max?
I think so. And I'm not, listen, Bill O'Brien just ruined the Texans. I mean, I have to give him credit as a coach. There were years where they started out slowly, and you're looking at him thinking, you don't have an offensive line. Can you move the pocket? They'll do something creative with Deshaun Watson so he doesn't get killed, right? And he did. As the season went on, his reputation as like a quarterback whisperer, I don't know if he justified it, but he did some things and the offense got better and the Texans wound up going to the playoffs. Deshaun Watson is a special player, right? Like, his numbers, his raw numbers and his aren't as good as some of the other stars, but if you have Deshaun Watson at quarterback, you are psyched. It's a waste right now. They traded DeAndre Hopkins. Bill O'Brien was, I don't know why they made him GM originally, but they gave him enough rope that he really hurt this team's present. And meantime, the Browns are a more talented team on both sides of the ball, even if they don't have as good a quarterback. I like Cleveland.
I have some fun matchups, man. Can't wait till Sunday to check them out.
Yeah, this is a good, like, sometimes, well, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes you look at the matchups, you go, eh. But sometimes you can kind of get, you look at the matchups going in, you go, even if the games don't wind up great, I need to know what happens in these games. This is one of those Sundays. And it's happening at the right time of year, too.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Hear who the Super Bowl halftime performer will be. Did you hear about it? Raj hadn't written the question mark yet, so I said it. I stated it instead of saying it as a question. Hear who the Super Bowl will be? You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Everyone's tweeting at me, Raj, because I sent out the following tweet earlier today about the hiring. I really retweeted a Jeff Passan article on Kim Ng, who was assistant GM in 98 for the Yankees. Cashman hired her in 98. The peak of the Yankees dynasty. Understand, in a span of 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, 5 years, the Yankees won four World Series with three tiers of playoffs. In 2001, they came an out away from winning five out of six. It's never going to happen again. And the record for wins in a season, what about regular season wins? Shut up. If you win in the playoffs, Seattle, 116 wins. We'll win the World Series, then you'll have more regular season. You'll have 127.
And who'd they lose to that year?
The Yankees. I was there. I was there for the deciding game, booing Ichiro, one of my favorite players ever. Anyway, did I want the Yankees to get him back then. They wound up with him when he wasn't good anymore. The point is this. That's never going to happen again. Four World Series in 5 years and out away from five out of six. And Kim Ng, why are we playing? Whoa. Why are we playing the who just hit that button?
I don't know, man. It wasn't me.
Was that Kim Ng talking? I don't even know. Like, why would someone? Anyway, the point is, the height of that dynasty was 98-99. 98, they won 125 games, sweep the World Series. 99, they repeat. By 2000, they were in decline already, but they won the World Series again, and very nearly in 01. Got back in 03, Game 7 against the Sox in the ALCS, in 04. I mean, it was ridiculous. But anyway, the point is, she was the assistant GM then. Jeter hires her. She becomes the first woman in the history of a major American professional team sports to be a GM, and the first Asian-American in Major League Baseball history. Wow. Derek Jeter. He does it again, Raj. He does it again. Anyway, so I tweeted out, Derek Jeter leads a group that buys the Marlins, is criticized for trading high-priced talent and rebuild, hires Don Mattingly as manager. Wish you could edit tweets. Gets Miami to postseason for the first time in 17 years. Hires first female GM in history of a major American team sport. So far. Everyone's tweeting at me, He didn't hire Mattingly. All right, so don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. I like it better if he hires Mattingly, but he kept Mattingly. He kept Mattingly. Let me change the story now. He kept Mattingly when people were saying Don Mattingly's too old school. From one Yankees captain to another. Yankees fans, be very proud of the Marlins right now. First of all, half of Miami roots for the Yankees in the first place. You ever go down to Miami, you find Yankees games on TV there, everything.
You're like, where is this coming from?
Secondly, Raj, I can hear you when you talk during the middle of the thing about something else. Secondly, one Yankees captain owns the team. The other manages the team. All right. I love it. And they're doing the right thing. Not just a socially progressive. No, no, no. It's the smart thing to do. Do you understand? If you like, look at the NFL right now. You know how few head coaches there are who are, African-American head coaches? In the NFL, or even just quote-unquote minority head coaches, right? Let's throw in Ron Rivera. By and large, they're very good, the ones who have jobs. You know why that is? Is that because minority candidates have some superhuman ability better than other kinds of... No! It's because in order to get the job as a minority candidate, You have to really be a standout. If you exclude the entire an entire segment of the population based on race or gender or height, you know, like, or religion or anything like that, you're hurting yourself. The NFL can afford to do this because it's an insulated business. The NFL is insulated from market pressures, largely. In other words, equity in all the teams is rising. Largely, they're real estate deals, but also the league keeps growing, number one. And number two, there's a salary cap, right? So, like, the owners are all making tons of money, period. They're not incentivized, actually, to try and win the Super Bowl. Not really. Not in a way they could be. And so they exclude, not always consciously in a bigoted way, they just, if the candidate doesn't remind them of them in some way, like the cut of their jib or whatever it is, or remind them of what's come before, they lack imagination, they're less likely to get the job. If they don't travel in the good old boy circles, and by the way, those circles can eventually, good old boy, quote unquote, could eventually include women and black people and all kinds of people, right? But social circles, they're not familiar with them. The point is, Branch Rickey did this when he helped break the color barrier with Jackie Robinson in 1947. If I was a GM back then, you know what you could have done if you were a GM in 1948? You could have just had a Negro League All-Star team as your team. They would have been the best team. And someone who would be like, maybe black people are just better at this than white people. Or no, it's that they're excluded. So you get to your pick. If you exclude entire groups from a job, you're only hurting yourself. And the first ones to tap that talent pool are at a huge advantage. The Marlins right now have an advantage. You know why? They have they probably have the MVP of an excluded group as their GM now. All right, Russell Westbrook. Who do you think the leader in the clubhouse is, odds on, Raj, for Russell Westbrook to be traded to? Who do you think is going to bite?
Oh, I for your sake and for Ben Lyons and all the other fans around there, I hope it's not the team you said yesterday.
It's the Knicks. No question. The Magic, the Pistons, the Hornets, the Bucks, the Sixers. I don't think he works on the Bucks. Like, the Bucks, if Antetokounmpo is your guy, you need a guy as good as him who's not a big, but that guy needs to be able to shoot, I think.
Shoot.
The freak can hit an open three. If you leave him alone, he'll hit it, but he's not going to pull up and, you know. And Westbrook either. Westbrook can hit an open three, but he's not a three-point shooter. I think for guys with that high usage, one of them has to be able to shoot. And it's not just about that. The Knicks will surely be the team because Dolan will not be able to resist. They have the cap space. Westbrook, because of his contract, won't be very expensive. Westbrook won't help them get to a championship level, but the Knicks have long ago given up on winning a championship. They always pledge a rebuild. Then they show how inept they are. They don't know how to draft. They don't know how to develop. The free agents don't want to take their money. And after a couple of years of a failed rebuild, Dolan gets antsy. And he bites at a superstar who's good enough to draw fans to the Garden, make the Knicks relevant, and bring some excitement. And given the fact that they're no longer running unopposed in New York City, the fact that the Brooklyn Nets are New York's team, have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, the fact that that's the case means Westbrook will be irresistible to Dolan, and everyone knows it. So they announced the Super Bowl halftime performer. Will I watch the halftime show now?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speaker. Lots of talk on all the talented young quarterbacks in the league. Who are my top five? Find out in a few minutes. You can reach me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. All right, what you got?
All right, Max, let's get into a Friday edition of No Doubt.
All right.
Hey, you remember my man Run from Run DMC?
Yeah, of course. I mean, remember.
Okay, my man turns 56 this weekend.
I know that because I'm 47. He's got to be older than that.
Yeah. He look good, though. You know, black don't crack. He looks smooth as can be. Check it out. You want to hear a Run DMC reunion record.
Yeah, why wouldn't I? By the way, Run DMC, I walked on ice and never fell. No doubt. No doubt I'd see it. Run DMC, like, when they dropped Sucker MCs, right? And everyone, that made rap different. There are only how many songs? A dozen songs in hip hop, right? That really changed the game. Groups.
Yeah.
When DMC dropped, Melly Mel and all them sounded old, sounded dated. And then LL dropped and dated Run DMC, and Rakim dropped and dated LL, right? And a lot of like LL's still around, but like Run DMC changed the game. And by the way, their songs are still fresh. You put on a classic DMC record, you don't have to skip any songs. Just let it go.
And that simple 808 beat they got going.
Oh.
You know what I mean? With
By the guitar. Way, when you talk about punching in and out on a track as a combo, as a team, Run DMC to this day might have the crown. I mean, there if you bracketed everybody up in a NCAA style, Run DMC's at least in the final four, if not the champs.
All right. Check it out. The Titans, moving on to the next one here. The Tennessee Titans were just a flash in the pan.
Nah, son. No, Titans are good. I know they just lost. Teams lose. By the way, they were doing well early. Came down to special teams, which, by the way, could be an issue for them, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it came to both sides of special teams for them. Because that's how they lost to the Steelers, too. They just got outperformed on special teams. And maybe this, you can't say it came down to it, but it had a big influence on the game, I think. So, no, I like the Titans. I like them offensively. I like them defensively. They have a little issue on special teams. I think they're not a flash in the pan. I believe in them. I believe in their quarterback.
All right. That's just one of those teams that can't get down early or else you take out Henry. It's rough, right?
Yeah. All right. It's tough.
Hey, so check it out. Another musical, no doubt, here. The Weeknd. He was just announced he'll be this season's Super Bowl performer, and Max will watch.
I don't mess with the Super Bowl halftime show,
That's
Raj.
Not how you play.
Nah. No, son. I don't know what the excitement is about. I don't care about live performances generally. Musical acts.
Yeah.
It sounds better on wax, you know, or whatever you call it, digital now. Like they, you know the reason they release certain songs like on an album? Do they still have albums?
Why?
You know what? They put out the song when they mix it just right. They spend so much time getting the best version of the song. They then release that version of the song, which I can listen to anytime I want. What do I care about watching a performer lip sync and not do the song as well during Super Bowl halftime? I don't care about the halftime show, and I never have. Yeah. Although I will say this. There are some, like Bruno Mars killed it. There are some acts who kill the halftime show. I don't care. I don't care about Prince. I don't care about the halftime show.
Oh, see, I dig some Prince. That was good. That was one of the few I watch. Even sitting through Super Bowls, I usually go get a drink or something.
I know. Listen, Prince is one of those acts. Like I'll put it like this. What was the TV show? Breaking Bad. I can recognize quality. Like Breaking Bad was expertly done. Prince really can do it all, right? But it's not speaking to me. Like I'm not moved by it. I'm a little bored by it. It's just personal preference.
All right, check it out. Hey, talking about some things. Tiger, if Tiger Woods is in the hunt on Sunday, you'll tune in.
Nah, son, I don't care about golf. Period. golf is boring. Golf has been boring to me since I was a little kid. I don't care about golf. I need more action. And also, there's no opposing force, you know? No, and I was never been interested in Tiger. Now, like, will I watch? Because I work in the business, Raj, I will I'll probably check it out, right? But like only when something's happening, friends of mine will text me and stuff like that, or I'll look on Twitter and see something's going on, I'll turn it on. I can't sit through. I just can't do it. It doesn't do anything.
You know what I do? I pause it, and then I fast forward to when Tiger's up. That's the only way I can do it.
I remember my dad used to check it out sometimes when Nicklaus won when he was 46 years old. Like he was interested in it. Even then I was like, come on, Dad, Arguello's fighting on CBS or whatever it was on ABC. You know, like, let's flip and watch the fights. Stop it. Yeah. Ooh. Anyway.
Yeah, days like that again. Good fights on free TV, even Saturday.
Good Saturday. By the way, this Saturday night,
woo!
Terrence Crawford and Kell Brook. Now, look, Kell Brook may not be, like, the best pound for pound. He's a former champ. He's a big welterweight. He only has two losses. They were both competitive to elite fighters. That's a hell of a fight on ESPN this Saturday night. Max Kellerman Show.
Max, the podcast.